Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Three Dudes, One Mic from our long vacation off. And as always, we've got Nick Nicholas.
Hello, hello.
And Brett Cortese.
Hello.
Believe it's been a long time, and last time it was only Brett and I, so it's been even longer for Nick.
Like 2 months, I think.
Goodness.
As always, check us out on Twitter at Three Dudes One Mic. Our website, ThreeDudesOneMic.com.
Be a terrible transition.
Great editing.
And you know the drill. Let's just get going. We're gonna kind of go out of order.
Did you say the website?
I did.
I think Brett's got an article coming out. He was telling me this week.
Oh yeah, what's this about?
Yeah, I could write something.
Yeah, see,
there you go.
So be looking forward to that.
We're going to go out of order a little bit, start with a movie, and then roll into TV. A couple things just ended as we're kind of changing seasons. So we're going to start with a movie that we've been waiting for a while, since the recent movies have been kind of, well, not kind of, they've been really bad. And Hell or High Water made the rounds at the festivals, and we finally got it here, starring Chris Pine, Ben Foster, and Jeff Bridges. Nick, what were your thoughts?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Best movie I've seen this year. I don't think it had much competition to get to that mark. I've been excited for a long time. I was very glad I finally got to go see a decent movie, an original movie, for the first time in quite some time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I don't know where I would rank it, like, over the past few years of movies, because I kind of wanted to think back, since it's been so bad this year, as like, you know, what were some of the better movies over the past few years. And it's definitely up there. I don't think I would put it as high as I would have liked, just thinking about some of those over the past few years. But it's definitely very, very, very good. Recommend it to anyone. And the reason I kind of say that is it was a really good story, but it threw me off a little bit. I was expecting, I don't know why, but a little bit more kind of action blown and going, like everyone kind of after each other. And it definitely was, but not to the level I thought, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The story was a little bit slower at times.
It was a little more of a heist movie than a thriller. So I definitely was surprised by the pacing of it as well. But overall, I don't know if it'll squeeze into the Oscar race or not.
I mean, it has to. What I mean, with all the stuff jam-packed at the end of the year, not everything's going to live up to the hype.
Yeah, but I feel like there's always a movie that I like about this time. Last year, Black Mass. I thought Johnny Depp should have been nominated, or the movie. And the year before that, Nightcrawler. There's always something that comes out about this time that's a smaller indie movie.
That's true.
Gets squeezed out when all the Brooklyns of the world start coming out.
Yeah. I thought...
taking undeserved places.
I thought it was a little bit funnier at times, too, than I thought. Jeff Bridges' character was just all his, kind of the way he talked to his partner and the things he said and did. I thought that was a really good touch. I really enjoyed his character, as well as the, you know, as close as the brothers in the story were. I mean, Chris Pine and Ben Foster definitely made you believe that, and they both did well. If you had to pick, would you say, you know, who would you put on top if it were able to squeeze in for Oscar nominations?
Out of those two?
Out of the three. And in any category.
Well, Bridges, you could definitely squeeze in supporting, I think, pretty easily. And it was pretty fun to see him in a role like that after the last few years you've been getting bad sci-fi Disney movies coming out.
You mean R.I.P.D.?
And R.I.P.D. squeezed in there while we were at the peak of Ryan Reynolds' backslide. He hadn't been a great character in a while, and this obviously is going to draw comparisons to True Grit or to Crazy Heart. He's in West Texas again, and I thought he was great. I would certainly not be surprised to see him nominated. Out of the other two, I've always liked Ben Foster. I think he's a really interesting actor. He's usually a scuzzball. And he kind of is in this movie, I guess, to an extent. But there's so much more going on. I thought he kind of carried the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Pine, I'm not a big Chris Pine fan. Oh. I like the Star Trek movies, and He's kind of like, I mean, he's a movie star. Don't get me wrong. He's very charismatic and an attractive looking man. but he does blockbusters and Disney movies.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I know him for. And so to see him in a role like this, so gritty and so acty, he had to actually act.
Yeah.
I was blown away with his performance, and I definitely am coming around on him as an actor. I hope he kind of starts doing that deal where he'll do
one and one.
Like a Mark Ruffalo type of situation. You do the blockbuster, get paid, then you go do an indie movie.
I would imagine if it does sneak in, I would like Ben Foster to get it, but I think Chris Pine has the better chance just because of the name and I mean, some other reasons I don't want to get into without ruining some stuff for Brett since he hasn't seen it. But I really liked it. I thought I really thought the connections for us, it was really interesting being in Oklahoma too.
Yeah,
the West Texas fun. And then kind of the Indian casinos crossing the border.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Well, you know, fun fact, it was filmed in Clovis, New Mexico, which I grew up 60 minutes away from and frequented Clovis, New Mexico, and also a lot of the areas around there it was filmed.
That's awesome.
I'm excited. I haven't seen it yet. I'm really excited to see it, so I'm going to be on the lookout for a lot of stuff that I may recognize.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's a lot of dirt roads.
Interesting. So, yeah. Interested to hear your take on it.
Few other things. I thought the dude that played Jeff Bridges' partner was really good.
Really good.
Out of nowhere. Gil Birmingham. Never heard of him. Took me a little while. The Waitress.
Yeah, I placed her right away.
You did?
Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
She's also, I didn't watch it, but she was on Mixon. Mike and Molly, she was a series regular on there too, which I thought was interesting. Not that she's the biggest name, but she was on a sitcom show for a couple years as well as HBO. So to do
well, it was Mike and Molly. Let's be honest.
No, I understand that, but still, I mean, yes, we don't watch that, Brett, but there was lots of people who did, and to go from that to the small role, she did really well. I thought her part was funny after the things went down there. But yeah, I thought that was interesting that she was in it.
Lots of great little moments like that. The other waitress they get who's so surly.
Great.
She was great. This director, David McKenzie, he's directed quite a bit. He's 50. He's been around a while, but they're all kind of... I've heard of Spread, the Ashton Kutcher movie.
Yeah.
Other than that, so kind of out of nowhere.
The
and it felt like he was much more accomplished than he is. So that's... I hope he... keeps going.
Yeah, I thought the way it was filmed was great. It really kind of puts you in the world for sure, being in West Texas. Is, you know, just thinking about an area like that was once booming and then bottomed out. You know, it's definitely happens a lot. And then I believe it was a writer of Sicario.
It was. That was my next point.
Yeah.
That dude, only two movies he's written. He's an actor. He was in Sons of Anarchy.
Show me him.
Yep.
Okay, interesting.
He's had 19 roles, but these two writing credits, so I'm pretty excited about him going forward. I'll probably see everything he writes. I thought the writing was maybe the best part about it.
Yeah.
The way it's paced and the way they tell the story kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat the whole time without saying much.
He was able to sit and learn on Sons of Anarchy from a phenomenal writer.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very true. So I'm excited about him. Best movie of the year up to this point. We'll see. I'm sure it'll be topped. But
whenever we do January 2017 look back, I think no matter what happens in the year, it's gonna be up there for me for 2016. But hopefully Brett sees it soon.
I will. I got a.
I'd recommend it.
I got a. Fandango gift card for my birthday, so I'm going to use that.
So change of gears.
For one movie.
Yeah. Change of gears a little bit. Brett, I don't know if you want to walk into the other room or cover your ears, because we're about to talk about a whole series of television start to finish.
Okay.
In the night of. That was HBO's miniseries. They released it early in August, and then, or it was July, and then it started.
Last time I was on, which has been,
was Game of Thrones ending. You talked about
into Game of Thrones, and they had put this on HBO Go and HBO On Demand, just the pilot. And so we finally wrapped up 8 episodes. So it's been.
So we've already talked. Let's not dwell on that. We've already somewhat talked about that a while back on what the show is and how it got created. So let's just kind of dive into the series as a whole. What's your take before we kind of talk about if we were satisfied with the ending?
My take is this is the show I've been, other than like Game of Thrones or something flashy like that, the show I've been most enthralled by since the first season of True Detective.
I agree with that.
I think it was the most, it kept me on my toes. I was never really sure what the show was the whole time. But the writing and the directing and the acting, it's what I've been most enthralled by for a long time. So
yeah, I agree with that. I think everyone, obviously there's some pretty well-known actors in it, not like, you know, top of the top, but still, I think obviously everyone knows John Turturro, and then there's a mixture of people that have been on a lot of other HBO series that kind of come across the screen. The main character, Nas, I don't have his IMDb pulled up, so I don't know his actual name.
Riz Ahmed.
He is about to be pretty big, obviously, with this. He was in Nightcrawler, but he's going to be in the next Star Wars, and he was also in the Jason Bourne movie that I didn't see. What a series for him as an actor, start to finish, you know, where he was as a character, the first episode to two, and then obviously being arrested and going to jail, and then where he ended at the end, that was gut-wrenching to watch. And I think that's what kept me on the edge of my seat. I don't think anyone could have played it better. I don't think he could. I mean, everything he did was the right decision as far as acting.
He was next level.
I mean, even the family, they weren't on it very much, but just everything that had to do with his direct story, and obviously everything is centralized around him, but there's all these little paths, but everything with him and his family, was hard to watch just because, you know, that you just hate to think about that in real life. And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure that happens a lot more than we would like to know. But I really enjoyed it. What was your pre-finale? You know, we got enthralled with Serial. We got enthralled with Making a Murderer. All these types of shows, or documentary shows, you know, that we've kind of been watching and listening to the past few years. What was your thoughts kind of middle to the season towards the end? If he did it, if he didn't, the story? Or did you even care, to be honest? Because I think at the ending showed us that really wasn't what the overall show was about. So
in the beginning, I cared, and it waned and waned as time went on. But still, I mean, it waned, but it still was kind of at the forefront of my brain, just because you're teetering on almost even, you don't think he did it from day one, and then you're teetering on whether he did it, and then they highlight so many people going through that make you, that stick in your mind, from the stepdad to Dwayne Reed, which apparently is a pharmacy in other parts of the country. But it kind of, going into the finale, I wasn't as interested as whodunit to how's this wrap up for Nas, you know?
Right.
I really wanted to see the end of his story.
I agree. I wanted to know in the middle if he did or not, just with it, how obsessed I got with Serial and things like that. And then as we got more and more into it with the things he was going through jail, and obviously seeing he was, you know, a person like that can never be the same after what he has to go through. And then being involved with that murder in jail and being totally okay with it. at that point, I still thought maybe he probably didn't do it, but, you know, it didn't matter at that point. And so with the ending, you know, I guess I've been reading and listening to some people really liked it and some people didn't. I was perfectly fine. And happy isn't the right word, but I was satisfied with the way they ended things. I mean, they pretty much answered it. I mean, I think we can 95% walk away.
Yeah.
We know the financial guy did it. But it's just replaying everything back in my mind right now. It was a really, really amazing series.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad they kind of rebounded from this after. And definitely you can't compare this to True Detective. But as on the edge of your seat and dark as season one and how awful season two was, this was a much better avenue. So what's your thought on, it's a mini series and it's over, but it did so well. Obviously they're going to probably come back with something. Do you want them to come back with anything, kind of let it stand on its own? Or are you okay with an American Horror Story, American Crime Story type of series?
I mean, I think you gotta let it stand on its own. As we saw with True Detective Season 2, it doesn't tarnish the memory, but like when True Detective comes up, I don't automatically go, oh yeah, one of the greatest series I've ever seen.
And it really would have been if they would have made that Season 2.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost felt like
I've never even thought about that. Like
Season 3 right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that kind of tarnishes the legacy looking back. And these guys are very successful. Between the two of them, they're successful crime writers and directors. And so they don't... That's not what they're known for, and that's not what their legacy is. So I could see them being free, walking away. So I kind of hope that they do that, but HBO keeps bringing in... Maybe they do another one with a different name, but it's kind of like every year they put out an interesting... 8 to 10 episode mystery.
Yeah.
And bring in a different writer, different director.
Yeah, I think so too. That'd be the only way I would like to do it. So this could stay on its own. We didn't really talk about him, but Michael Kenneth Williams is his name, right? That guy. Obviously, he's been in The Wire and other things. I've never really watched The Wire. I've watched a few episodes on and off. I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and watch all of that. But I think he was my second favorite. As much as I love John Turturro, I think Nas was my favorite. Can't remember his name. You already said it to me.
Rizzo.
But then I think Michael Kenneth Williams was my next favorite. And I think if I had to pick, I think John Turturro.
Performance-wise.
I think John Turturro is going to be obviously pushed very highly and probably win. I would guess he's supporting in when it comes to miniseries, movie. Next year, but I hope Michael Kenneth Williams isn't overlooked. What was your thoughts? Before we move on and grab Brett back out here for Mr. Robot, about the other lawyer, the way they took her,
the DA?
No, the young girl.
Oh,
the way they
Chandra.
The way they took her story and really basically
that was
railroaded her.
I mean, it was necessary, obviously.
Was it? Why?
Because you knew that John Turturro was going to have to be the guy to give the final.
Okay. Yeah.
Her demise.
But did the way they have did to it go that route?
She didn't need to be smuggling drugs in or kissing him.
Yeah.
It was out of character because, I mean, she was like...
She was really
she
good.
She was young and she just
but
got
she
broken
was good
up
with her questioning and things like that.
Right, but she was very professional and she was very driven. So I thought it was a little out of character. When she kissed him, I was just like...
Yeah.
I was... I'm doing hand motions for my podcast here, but... I didn't like the direction they took her. There could have been another way of doing it, but I guess it's almost... When it was all said and done, and she sat down with her boss and that whole thing, when you're looking at kind of the path of destruction that this whole thing did, it kind of... Looking back, I don't hate it as much as I did during the time. You didn't like it?
I didn't like it.
Not at all?
Yeah, I mean, there's just no point to it. I don't know offhand which other way you do that. I agree with you. You had to bring John Turturro back. That wasn't my issue. It was the way they got to it. And I don't even know what a better way is, but I literally think you could write 100 scripts... That being the 100th, and the first 99 were way better. you know, we're going to be way better than that hundred script. But
right.
That's a most nitpicky part.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean, it was, as miniseries go, one of my favorite and most satisfying. I don't want to call it I haven't really thought about my all-time favorite miniseries, but I can't think of a time I've been more satisfied with a start-to-finish story.
Yeah, and I think initially, it took me a couple days to process that hour 45 finale.
Yeah.
I wish they would have done 10 episodes. That would have been way better.
Right.
Or 9, I guess that would be. But then you could have maybe squeezed a little more in. But yeah, I'm very satisfied with it. I'm happy with kind of looking back on it. The story they were actually telling is really interesting compared to what I thought I was watching the whole time.
Right.
Just the character study is what it was. It's so enthralling to look back on. I think that the first episode will be, if we do our top 10 lists of everything at the end of the year, I don't see there's any way that's not my number one.
Right.
So, to start on such a high note and to end so satisfying after 8 weeks of it, I agree.
I would love to watch, I believe it's called Criminal Justice, the BBC show that it is loosely based off of, and I'm stealing this from whatever the Hollywood Prospectus is now called. Andy Greenwald, Chris Ryan's Ringer podcast. The people at The Ringer have watched it, and it was actually very similar to the story. Let me take that back. Some of the characters, the way they took the characters were similar. I don't think the story was obviously the exact same. So I do want to watch that just to kind of compare the differences. But I agree with you about the first episode. That will definitely probably be on mine as well. That's probably all we had on Night Of. We should probably pause for a second and go grab
our sponsors, bread. Are they?
Stay tuned for this message.
All right.
We appreciate that message from our sponsor. We now have Brett joining us back. Yo. He has finally caught up on season 2 of Mr. Robot minus last week's episode.
Yep.
But we're going to go ahead and talk about it because not too many spoilers from that one. And we haven't really talked about it at all three of us together on the podcast. So what are you guys' thoughts on the season so far and the direction we're going?
It's been really interesting. Not quite what it was last season. Last season was really awesome and really crazy. I guess not last week's, but the week before that was finally really good. It was a very good episode from top to bottom. I mean, you had the whole
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, not last week's, the one before it. So that would be 2 weeks. Come on. You're messing up my flow here.
Continue.
Anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted, the episode where they did the heist, I guess, with Angela and Darlene, where they went into Evil Corp and did that. That was actually really gripping and really good, and then it finished up and was a really, really strong overall episode.
That's the same episode that week where we learn.
Yes.
Okay, where Elliot has been.
Where he's been this whole time.
Right.
And I don't know about this. We were talking about this before the podcast. Justin and I were about the timeline and when everything happened and when he knew or when we found out he was in jail and why he's in jail. And so I'm thinking, my theory is that it's an alternate, or not alternate, but what we see, the chronology is altered. So everything that's happening from him seeing and meeting with Joey Badass, the Leon character, and being in his mom's house and everything is happening in the now. But then the timeline where he's talking with, where he's doing that with Ray is altered, and it happened before everything.
So the reason he's
in jail is because of his involvement in bringing down Ray's black market website.
What's your thought, Nick?
That's not how I read it at all. That's interesting.
It does have its flaws, because they do kind of talk about it while they're in the mom's house. So, I mean, there are some flaws to it, but I just, that's just kind of my thought, my theory. It's obviously not very sound, but...
No, that's interesting. I didn't take it that way. I took it that Ray was a prison guard.
Oh, he's a guard. Oh, okay.
That's the way I took it, and he was selling drugs or something.
I thought he was a warden.
Maybe a warden.
Just putting my two cents in there.
Maybe a fancier guard, excuse me.
Right.
Okay. A guard with a better title.
He had his thug working for him, so that would be the security.
Or just his thugs.
Yeah.
It is prison we're speaking of. And he took down him, speaking of a show we just talked about, selling drugs and such. That's the way I read it. And then he got busted and he got hauled off himself.
So then why the website?
Why
do they sell everything in prison on a website?
No, I think it's a side business for whoever works at the prison.
Right. I don't think it was actually on a computer.
Okay.
I think the way they were telling the story, it made sense for it to be on a computer. Like, it made sense.
Oh, I think it was on the computer. I think it was the whole outside of prison thing. But in prison, they were like, these people in prison were running something, but the business was outside of prison.
Maybe. That's not how I don't know. Because you can't believe anything that happened during that. Because right. It was all
a facade.
In a different place with a different setting with a different things happening. So, I don't know. But I took him as a guard or a warden, if you will.
A fancy guard.
A fancy guard, as they prefer to be called for street cred.
Right.
I'm a fancy guard. That's the way I took it, and he was running some sort of... I thought it was in the prison selling.
Yeah, drugs, I mean, either way, I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, I'm happy we have a conclusion of what was happening, and we can try to bring everyone back together. I have liked, Portia Doubleday and the others. Like, I've liked their stories, but I'm kind of ready for it to all come back together. And kind of get back on season one track. But Craig Robinson was freaking awesome.
Yeah, he was really good.
I thought every time he was on screen, he killed it. And I thought that was a really weird choice to cast him early on. Obviously, didn't know what his character was going to be, but just in general to cast him in anything.
Yeah, to see him in Mr. something.
Robot. I thought he did great. I really enjoyed him.
He has an interesting presence on screen that kind of broke up the monotony of... Not monotony, but when you're looking at the bleak winter while they're playing basketball and he's sitting there talking, it takes you out of the... Same with Joey Badass. Like, he's an interesting character compared to what's typically going on screen.
Right. And he was also really good.
Yeah, he was. I was surprised.
Yeah.
Very surprised.
I like him.
So, I liked the whole... whenever he came to save Elliot, I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah.
And he's just truly standing badass, there... Man. Just standing there, hood down, and then drops that line about White Rose.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, shit. So he's kind of been just playing it on the whole time.
He's
undercover or whatever.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can we talk about what's y'all's thoughts on Elliot and Mr. Robot, the whole... we had the episodes where it was the funny, like, sitcom version of Mr. Robot, and
I really liked that
episode. I did, too. I really, really liked it. But, we learned that Mr. Robot is, his father. Obviously, it's not his father. It's himself. But
what? Spoiler.
Taking the beating and being the protector. That when he's getting beat up in that scenario where Joey... Badass, like, saves him. His face kept changing. Every time he got hit in the face, it turned into Christian Slater. So, I thought that was really cool, the way they filmed that. But, I guess I'm still struggling with... Obviously, we know that is Elliot, but it's just hard for me to kind of come to grips with what's
happening. I think that was him fading in and out of, like... Because they talked about that, quote-unquote, Mr. Robot... was protecting him while he was in prison, and I think that was him snapping in and out of the reality he's telling us or has created in his brain that's going on into what's actually happening.
Well, and it's his I guess, projection of his father, of his dad. So, obviously, his dad's going to always be his protector, and we see that in the scene where they're driving in the car, and he's talking about, I'll never leave you, I'll always be there for you. And so that's his way of his father protecting him, is him going in and out of consciousness, and that Mr. Robot projection taking over in mm-hmm. those particular instances. So,
what's your thoughts on? I've got a little bit more of White Rose this season.
I like it. I think BD Wong is incredible. I think he's really good. He's a really good actor, and it's been interesting getting to know more about that character, and seeing a different side to that character, especially in the scene that he has with Gracie Gummer, the Dom DiPietro character, while they're in China, and he's going through the cabinet with all the dresses and everything, and we actually see some sort of semblance of human in the White Rose character. And I thought that was really interesting how they did that and how they brought that out and really kind of make you connect with the character. That's just really good writing and acting and everything coming together. So.
Yep.
So, what, now that, you know, Elliot's been gone, F Society has somewhat continued on.
I don't think it's somewhat. I think it's...
Well, they're not making... I mean, they're not... In their mind, they're not doing as much as they should, and they're being... You know, they're on the FBI's list now, and they're being hunted. Because, I mean, one of them's dead now. What... You know, with the sister and with that storyline kind of separate from Elliot, do you guys have any thoughts on... I mean, basically, what I'm getting at is Evil Corp and BD Wong at the end of season one, and White Rose, you know, the two leaders of the group were in some sort of fancy club or, you know, gentlemen's club and started talking like they both knew what was coming before it happened. The hack happened, and now everyone's using Evil Corp's Bitcoin, essentially. And so it seems like F Society really didn't do anything. Like, I feel like Evil Corp and the Chinese are somewhat working together on this. Am I off or no?
Well, I mean, they're still, for all intents and purposes, I mean, they're still getting, it's still hurting them because...
Is it though?
They're begging the government for a bailout, and the government's like, we can't bail you out. And so now, like, everything's getting turned on them, and the FBI is in their office, set up. Corn took over an entire floor to investigate everything. I mean, they're still... It's hurting them, probably not as much as F Society thinks they are, but it's still definitely hurting them. I mean, in the end, they'll probably be fine, and it'll all be for naught, but it's still working for the most part.
I don't know. I just feel like this is... After this season, I have no idea where we're going, but at the end of this season, I think it's basically going to come to... we're going to take a different turn on what has happened and where we're going with the show. Just with how this season's gone, you know, gone so far. Season one, basically, we came away thinking, you know, F Society has changed the world, and season two is... Yes.
Just made a more chaotic world is all that seems to be happening.
Yeah. Everything's crumbling all around.
So what about, what's his name? The CEO, the leader of Evil Corp, who's working, with Portia Doubleday's character. Obviously, he is not a good person, but we really don't know too much about him. I I've really enjoyed him and I've liked that storyline, but it's kind of been totally separate from everything. So, I mean, have you guys liked those types of things this season, or is there too much going on?
For me, what drew me in so strong in season one was, and obviously it would have to be a standalone season for it to continue like that, but was the mystery around Elliot and Mr. Robot and what was actually going on there. I'm not as enthralled by what's going on with the CEO of Evil Corp or with the Chinese stuff or what's... That hadn't held my interest this season as much. It's such a broad story being told, and what I liked about season one was this little story about what was happening. So, honestly, this season, I think I've had to watch episode 2 and 3 and 4, like, through 8 different segments, because I'd watch one and get to a commercial and be like, nope. Because it's just so meandering. Excuse me, I'm going to choke up over here, but...
Really impassioned about that.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I think there was some concern with the viewership this season. I think there was a lot of people that had that same issue with it. Obviously, it did get renewed for season 3, but it wasn't as 100% as you would expect after season 1. So I'm hoping we kind of change paths and get rolling again so we can get however, you know, because Sam Esmail says he knows how long it's going to be and he knows the whole story. So I hope we kind of get back on track where we can get to season 4 or 5, whatever that is, and get the full ending, which I would assume we would, because even though viewership on USA is got to be better than...
Suits is on season 27 right now, so they're not too worried about it.
Yeah, I think we're heading a better direction, so hopefully we will be surprised and have some of those really good episodes like we thought from season 1.
Yeah, I agree. So speaking of like USA and Mr. Robot, do you get the feeling like they could be the next AMC or?
We're not doing this again. We're not doing this again. We did this a year ago. No,
I'm just teasing you, Brett. Yeah, I hope that it picks up a little more speed in 45-minute episodes.
Yeah. With everything ending, I think this will kind of be what we'll have to talk about for the next couple weeks and month or two is things are... We're kind of in
a lot of new HBO shows are coming up.
Right, but I'm saying like we're kind of in the awkward time when this is going to end and those other things really start to hit the ground running. But that's kind of all I have.
Lethal Weapon, the TV shows.
Come on. MacGyver. They're remaking MacGyver. Okay. Come on, man.
Downtime.
So sidetracked right now. I have not watched anything past episode 2 of Roadies because I got super bored. but you two watched the whole season, so I'm a completist.
Okay. Yes.
To hear your thoughts about it.
So I want to preface this by saying it's not a good show by any means. It certainly has its many, many, many flaws, but it's entertaining and it's something you can turn on and hear some good songs, have an interesting story to follow along to. And that's really about all it is. It's background noise.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
but there were still parts where I found myself really, really enthralled by and really watching intently. So I mean, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I don't think it'll be back beyond this season. But I saw something today asked if it would have been better as a movie rather than a show, a season of TV. What do you think?
No, because one of my issues with it is nothing happened. So, I mean, yeah, in an hour and a half, nothing could have happened a lot faster.
Right.
But its high points I did think were really high. A lot of it was... I'd tune out while I was eating lunch.
Right.
And watch half of it and forget about it for the next week and then be like, oh, I should watch the other half. But there were when they hit their highs, they really did, and I think Cameron Crowe's writing shone through at some points, and then his new love of not being very good shone through at some points as well. There was an episode that I really, really liked.
I think I know which one you're
talking
about.
The Leonard Skinner episode. Yeah. That was...
outstanding.
That was one of the best episodes of TV I've seen this year.
Oh, yeah.
And so, if it could all be that good, it would. I would be enthralled by it. I'd love to keep coming back every episode, but...
The finale was really cool, especially how they brought in a bunch of... like, a lot of the different musicians they brought in, and then
brought some back. Yeah, Cameron Crowe calling all his successful friends.
Right. And then just kind of, it was basically just a recap of the entire show. So that, I mean, they wrapped it up really well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they still leave it open, but I don't know if it's...
if it's over, I think it ended well.
Yeah.
I did watch every episode. I didn't hate it. And I know that Cameron Crowe stayed on for the whole thing, so maybe he'll see it and see areas to revamp. And I'm sure if he wants to keep going, Showtime's going to be like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that big a name attached to it. And it seems like that's the network where you can have something on there that not many people know about or watch. And it's, blink and it's in the seventh season.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one with the... they have Banshee, don't they? Or is that Stars?
That's Cinemax.
That's Cinemax? I can never get that straight. And then I don't know, but
Stars is Power, which I do watch.
Showtime is something where a lot of... they have
Ray
a lot
Donovan,
of
Masters of Sex.
Like, they get a lot of praise elsewhere, but, I mean...
Shameless is on, like, season 12 right now.
Right. Yeah. They have a lot of shows that just go on that have... they may have stumbled in the first season or the second season, but they're still there. I mean, they have the money and the backing from HBO to really throw some money at some stuff.
Yeah. Some of the acting I was let down with. I thought Luke Wilson was incredibly boring on the screen.
Yeah. That character wasn't good for him.
But Machine Gun Kelly.
Really good.
He was great.
Really good.
I don't
good.
Know who he is.
Yeah.
But every time he was on there,
surprisingly,
he was amazing.
Yeah.
I think he's got a lot more acting roles coming up.
I guess so.
Is he a rapper?
Yeah, he's a rapper.
Have you listened to him?
Yeah.
Is he good?
I mean, he's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was an awesome actor, too.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to see him in some more stuff coming up.
You know who was...
hopefully, I mean, I'd watch a second season of him in this, for sure.
Ron White was surprisingly okay in this also.
I thought he was my second favorite character on the show.
Yeah.
He had some over-the-top, stupid stuff, but...
but the character was cool. Yeah. The thing... I really liked this, like, everything about how they focused on the roadies and everything, but it would have been cool to incorporate the band that they're all there for.
Right.
I mean, it focused on all these other bands. And everybody, and I mean, I get it because it's not a real band, but I mean, if you're going to make a show about a roadie crew for this one band that's supposedly this big-time influential band, I mean, you're going to have to at least do something other than a fade-out or a fade-in or anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. It would have been cool if they would have made them an actual band.
Yeah.
Like Stillwater in... Almost Famous.
Almost Famous, yeah.
Like, they were a real band.
Right.
And that would have been cool. To have them, a little depth to their characters, because they just kind of breezed in and out, and you were supposed to be like, oh.
I will say, the eclecticness of all of the different music that they brought, and all the different bands that they brought in, I thought that was a strong point. A very, very strong point. I mean, that was really cool, all the different people that they had come in.
Yeah, if Showtime puts out a soundtrack from this season,
I would buy it in a heartbeat. I will actually spend dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, it was for the music was the best part, for sure. Other than that, if it's back, I'll watch it. But
yeah. Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
No, that's it. I just wanted to, speaking of musical shows, esque shows, I watched the first three episodes of The Get Down on Netflix. And and I like it.
Yeah.
Same kind
I've
of thing.
I've been meaning to.
But. It's the same kind of thing. It's there.
Yeah.
And it's a little over the top, but that's Baz Luhrmann. And it's an interesting way to tell a story set in such an awful time. I mean, the 1970s in New York was, and there are times whenever they, like, the scene transitions will just be, it'll just be footage, like actual footage of New York, of like different riots and blackouts and everything, cut with reshot scenes, like of like background scenes. Yeah. So like there'll be a shot of like them going through following a city, like following a street, and like people are looting and everything, and then it'll cut to a recreation of someone, and you can obviously tell it's shot currently of someone looting something, in that same kind of feel to it. So it's really interesting, and there's a lot of that.
That's cool.
But it's really just there to set the tone for the next scene, which is what you want in a transition. But I just, they're long. They're at least 30, 45 seconds to a minute.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm looking through the cast. It's got some pretty big names in it.
Jimmy Smith.
I didn't know
he's a little over the top. But the kid,
Gus Fring.
Gus Fring's in it. He's not in much.
Is he?
Or at least in the first three episodes, and he's kind of an asshole. But
Michael Gill from Mr. Robot.
Yeah, he's in it. His character is massively different than what he is in Mr. Robot. The kid,
Jaden Smith.
Is actually quite serviceable.
Really?
A little weird, but
yeah.
The character that he's playing is weird, but I mean, he's actually serviceable.
Right, you keep trying to tell me something.
Shameik Moore is really good. The kid from Dope.
Oh, that's right.
And then the other kid, he was in that movie Paper Towns. Justice Smith. Justice Smith.
Okay.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good in it. Yeah, I recommend it. I'll
definitely check it out.
It's interesting. It's pretty cool. So that's my shining recommendation of it. So I guess that's about it.
Is there any other shows or movies? A lot of stuff upcoming, but I think we'll probably circle back on that here in a couple weeks. But if there's nothing else, it's good to be back. Sorry for the delay, and hopefully you won't have to wait another 3 months for the next podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Thank you.